Hello, friends. This is Pastor Benjamin Faircloth from Ignited Church in Livonia, Georgia, and I want to welcome you to Ignited Life Now. God bless you, and I appreciate you so much. I want you to know that. For all of you who have written to us and emailed and sent love gifts and just supported our ministry, I just want to say thank you. We love you. We are praying for you. I mean that with all sincerity. Our hearts are attached to yours by faith, recognizing and realizing that we're all part of the kingdom of God and that there's a great master plan of God that we must follow in this last days. And I believe part of that master plan is koinonia. What is koinonia? That's fellowship in the Spirit, from heart to heart, from breast to breast, from life to life. And that's what we need to cultivate today in the kingdom of God, because we're going to need each other. We're going to need each other like never before in these last days. So I want to thank you for connecting with us. Do know, please understand, please realize we do pray for you and we do love you. If I could make contact with everybody, I surely would. And I do the best I can, definitely through emails and different contacts, because I want you to feel the love of God. I want you to feel the shepherding power of Jesus Christ. He is the great shepherd. And I believe that the personal touch of a man or a woman of God should be experienced in some form of fashion, some form of reality, if you will, in today's church. We're really missing that. We are really missing that in the body of Christ. My mentor, my wife's mentor, the late Dr. Lester Summerall, he used to say this. He said, if you're a pastor, if you're a shepherd, you need to smell like sheep. In other words, you got to spend time with the folks. You got to spend time with the people of God, and you got to love on them, and you got to be real. You know, we're living in an hour when people love the crowds. They love the masses, but they hate the people. In other words, they want to be with all this grandeur of ministry, this Hollywood, Motown, Nashville mindset, but yet they don't want to be personal and go to the hospital and visit somebody. They don't want to be personal, lay hands and pray for folks. They don't want to be personal and do what they're supposed to do as a shepherd. That's why I love David so much, King David, because not only was he transparent, man, he was authentic. He was real. He knew how to love Israel. He knew how to love the kingdom that God gave him because he spent time with the sheep. He understood what it was to be a shepherd. And I think that's what we're missing in the body of Christ today. So I love you. I appreciate you. I hope you've enjoyed this series on life in the Spirit. I'm believing God today that on this podcast, you're going to receive your breakthrough. You're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive everything that God has promised in His Word. And we're going to go over that in just a minute. And how I believe God's going to do it for you. But I want to give you some final teaching that I said we would go over. Again, this is Life in the Spirit. And thank you again for those of you who have commented about this series, how it has blessed your life. I'm so grateful for that. We're going to talk now about the enhancement, if you will, of the spiritual gifts. What happens when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and why it is so important? For the most part, if you go to a church that does not claim to be Spirit-filled or Spirit-led, you will most likely find that there's no laying of hands. You'll most likely find there's no prophesying. You'll most likely find there's not any intensity in the preaching or passion in the worship. Okay? So that is your first sign that the Holy Spirit is not at liberty to be in operation. He may not even be welcome in that kind of church. And so when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, your spiritual gifts begin to come alive. They become available to you. Remember, these are not your gifts. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are the gifts of the Spirit of God. Listen, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. Go ahead and read along with me. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. See, the Holy Ghost is not divided. He is the same Spirit, but he has diversities of gifts. There's differences of gifts. It goes on, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. What does that mean? That means that the Lord, Jesus Christ, is the administrator. The Father is the administrator. The Holy Spirit is the giver. He is the enabler. He is the empowerment, if you will, of those gifts. He activates those gifts. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. So I want you to see this. You need to see this clearly, especially those of you who have been taught that this is of the devil, and God doesn't do this anymore, and all that craziness that's out there. Look at the Word. Don't listen to what you've been taught. Look at the Word. You have what? The gifts being talked about. You have the Holy Spirit being mentioned. You have the Lord being mentioned, and then you have the Father being mentioned. Look what it says. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So you have, in the Trinity understanding, divisions and administrations and operations of them, but yet they're in complete unity. Do you see that? So in other words, the Spirit of God is not just an afterthought, or he's going to do something on his own, or this is something that man or a denomination or a group of people conjured up and said, okay, this is separate from the Father and the Son. It's not. It's the Trinity. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working together. Now watch. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone, to the profit for all. What is it? The manifestation. What is a manifestation? If you don't like that word and that word scares you, it don't scare me. I want God to manifest. Manifestation just simply means to appear. Excuse me. To be revealed. To be exposed. How about this? To come on the scene. How many of y'all need God to come on the scene? I need God to come on the scene. I don't know. I don't care how he wants to reveal himself. I need you to manifest. I need you to come right now. God, I need you. Do you see that? And so the manifestation of God is not something that is wrong. It's not something that is to be scared of. It's just the revealing of the Holy Spirit, the revealing of the Father. Now watch. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, who's each one? Me and you. The manifestation is given to me and you that are yielded, that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that want God to move. For the what? The profit of all. In other words, we're all to benefit out of the manifestation, the revealing, the exposing, whatever word you want to use, of the Holy Spirit through the giftings of God, because we all profit. We all get blessed by it. If a family member gets healed in your home and you don't have to care for them anymore, and they don't have to pay a doctor's bill, and you don't have to go back and forth to a hospital, doesn't everybody profit? Well, absolutely. We profit from the healing. We profit from signs and wonders and miracles. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings, notice that, healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit. Look at it again. Read it out loud with your mouth so your ears can hear it. But one and the same Spirit. What same Spirit? The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. Part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. Look at it this way. The Holy Spirit is the agent of the Father working on earth on his behalf. It is the arm of God. It is the breath of God. It is the hand of God. It is the life of God, the life of Jesus Christ on the earth. What did Jesus say? He said this. He said, I got to go to my Father. It's expedient. I got to get to heaven. Why did he have to get to heaven? Well, we know he had to sprinkle the mercy seat and produce himself as a sacrifice, the lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. But he had to release the Holy Spirit. His job was not completed until the Holy Spirit manifested. And I'm going to prove that in just a minute. So most people who don't believe in the Holy Spirit, the baptism and the gifts, you're living a halfway gospel. You're not even giving Jesus the honor and the glory and the respect for the totality of his ministry. Yeah, you're living short. You're shortchanging the Trinity. You're shortchanging the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you are only living and preaching half the counsel. I'm going to prove that. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. What things? The manifestation of the giftings, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Let me break that down for you. And I don't have time to go over all the spiritual gifts. Maybe I'll do another podcast teaching on this about the giftings. There's so many good things in there. In fact, I may put them up on my website through our Ignited School of Ministry teachings that we've done. But listen, it's the Holy Spirit that distributes. He gives to each one individually as he wills. I don't have the ability to say, okay, today I'm going to operate in words of wisdom. I'm going to operate in healing. No, I have to yield myself to the Holy Spirit and say, Spirit of God, Spirit of grace, Father, Lord Jesus, what do you want to do today? If we're going into a ministry situation in that church, what do you want me to do today? It can be a simple prayer like that, or it can just be you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden you have a word come in your heart and the Lord says, release it. Well, you didn't produce that. You're just a yielded vessel that the Holy Spirit picked and he said, okay, now I want you to do this. Do you see that? He said, rivers of living water will flow through you. And out of those rivers of living water, remember, out of your belly, are channels. Think of a river with channels, and out of those channels, if you will, are the giftings of the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't have the ability to open the floodgate or, if you will, the door to those channels. That's the Holy Spirit's job. You just say, okay, I'm in the river, whatever you want to do, however you want to do, it's flowing through me. And then the Lord says, boom, I'm going to open this door. And there it is. There would be tongues, interpretation of tongues. And again, I want to get into that at another time. Or the gifts of healing, whatever, miracles, faith. All these manifestations come from the Holy Spirit. And so when we're obedient to God, then the Holy Spirit says, okay, I can work through you. Now, let me just share one more thing on that before we move along. The more you spend time in the presence of God, the more you fast and pray, the more you pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues, and read the Bible, the greater your inner man becomes, the stronger he is, and the more trustworthy you become. Oh yeah, that's something we don't teach in the realm, charismatic realms and Pentecostal realms when it comes to the giftings. But as God can trust you with the anointing, when he can trust you with the giftings, then through that maturity and that level of discipline, God begins to increase his power in your life. So, man, it's not like it's one and done. In other words, it's not like you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden you're Superman and you're just going to go around and save the world. Well, yeah, you will feel like Superman and you will probably want to go around the world and win the world. But you won't have the totality of the manifestation of God until you grow. That's why we must increase our spirit life, our spirit man. Amen. Just like we do with our body. If we work out, we take care of ourselves, we exercise, then we have muscle tone. We have all those good attributes of health and of exercise. And that's the same thing with the spirit. If I put junk in my spirit man, then I'm going to be weak. I'm not going to be effectual for the kingdom. But if I continue to pray and believe God and be faithful, then I'm going to see spiritual muscles I've never seen before. All right, so I want to get past that. I want to talk about extending the kingdom through spiritual warfare. I'm not going to have time to read these scriptures, but I want you to read them. Let this be your homework today. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6. Remember that? For our weapons are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare, they're not what? They're not carnal, but mighty. Mighty. How? In God or through God. Go back and read that. Take some time and study that. Again, if you're in a church or if this is speaking to you and there is no spiritual warfare going on in your church, I mean, the prayer is as dry as a cracker. I mean, it's dry as a piece of burnt toast. Well, chances are the Spirit of God's not moving in there because there's no extension of the kingdom through spiritual warfare. We as the body of Christ that are full of the Spirit of God, when we get in the church, man, we're pressing, pushing, pulling down, kicking down the devil's gates. I mean, you know, we are advancing the kingdom, but you can only advance the kingdom through spiritual warfare. The devil will not lay down and roll over like a puppy and just say, okay, I give up. Obviously, look at our world. What we're doing isn't working. So we need spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6, 10 through 16, remember that? We're to be strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Again, let this be a test. If you go to a church or if you're living a life that you don't put on the armor of God, you wake up and the first thing you do, you know, is click on the morning news and have no devotion with God. He's not even on your mind. He's not on your heart. You're wringing your hands about the day before you. Chances are you're not walking in the Spirit-led life nor the Spirit-filled life, and you're not even put on the armor of God. You're not even putting it on. You're not even applying this thing. And again, if we're going to take the kingdom, if we're going to advance the kingdom, we have to do it through violence, not sticks and stones, not bombs and bullets. I'm talking about spiritual warfare, learning how to pray in the Spirit. Say, why do we pray in the Spirit, Pastor? Because we can't see what we need to see in the natural. Our eyes are blinded, if you will. We have issues of the world. We have the issues of our emotion. We are limited. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to take the scales off, when we allow the Holy Spirit to show us what's going on in the realm of the Spirit, man, I'm going to tell you something. We can start hammering the enemy if we can hit that bullseye and begin to watch strongholds come down and have victory in our family. And then finally, on the teaching point, is I want to talk to you about embracing the Word of God. Embracing the Word of God. When we begin to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, in other words, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we start walking in maturity and we're praying in the Holy Spirit and we're just really going after God, the Bible will come alive to us. Remember, the Bible is the progressive revelation of God to man. Let me say that again. The Bible is the progressive revelation of God to man. In other words, the Bible is not a dry historical relic account and recount of history and prophecy of the future that is just dead and has no life to it. No, no. This is the living Word of God. The Bible is progressive. In other words, the more you study the Bible, the more you have a revelation of the Father, the more you understand. Now, I know this has happened to you. It's happened to me many times. You ever read something in the Bible, go to a certain passage? Okay, you've read it maybe 10, 20, 100 times. Then all of a sudden you go back again just for that 10th time or whatever. And all of a sudden, bam, the Word of God comes alive. You've got a new revelation. You're flipping pages. You're going from scripture to scripture. Now you have a mosaic, if you will, a picture, a connection, a dot to dot of something you never saw before in the Word of God. You know what that is? That's progressive revelation. That's a greater depth in God that you didn't see before, and that comes with maturity. That comes with the desire to know God, to experience God, and to understand Him. And the Holy Spirit, that's what He does. He leads us into greater understanding. That is why in these last days, there is a deeper, more clear, expansive revelation of prophecy than there was even 10, 15, 20 years ago. I don't go back and slam anybody from the past based on their revelation. That's where they were. That's the rung of the ladder. That's the step they were at. That's the level they were in understanding. But, and this is key. That's why we have to get past We have to get past where we were before in our denominations. I appreciate what Grandpa did. I appreciate the book that great-grandpa wrote. But you know what? There's progression in the revelation of God. I'm not talking about doctrine as in the basics, the basic tenets of our faith. You know, we don't touch that. We have the revelation of what Jesus did for us on the cross, but there are different understandings. In other words, through the prophetic understanding and the prophetic revelation, we can see different views. It doesn't change the message. It doesn't change the authenticity of it. But what it allows us to do is now have a 360 view of the Word of God. An example, when we look at the cross, many people look at the front of the cross. They look at the cross and what Jesus did for salvation. But there's a backside of that cross. What is that? Where Jesus received his stripes. By his stripes, you are and you were healed. So there's a backside of Calvary. There's a backside where he took the whippings and the stripes so you and I can be saved. You see that? And so there's another view of that. And we embrace that because it's the Word of God in truth. And so every generation has to see the progressive revelation of God. It doesn't change the message. And again, it doesn't change the foundations of Scripture. It confirms it. Yeah, that's it right there. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, and you begin to see and connect the dots. That is what the Holy Spirit will do for you. That is what the Spirit of grace will make happen in your life. Man, you want to go deeper in the things of God? Listen, you don't need to enroll in a seminary. I appreciate schools of ministry. We have a school of ministry. And you know, we're about to start that back up this fall, should the Lord allow. But here's the thing. The greatest revelation you can receive is allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you and take you to school. Look at the Apostle Paul. Man, when he got saved, he didn't run to the disciples. He went to the desert. He went away, and he had a revelation from Jesus Christ, and he received 2/3 of the New Testament. Amen. What an awesome experience. Well, you may not get a revelation that causes you to write books and all those things, but you know what? You will have a revelation of who God is in your life. You'll have a revelation of who he is in your family's life. You'll walk with your best friend, the Holy Spirit. See, that's what I believe. I believe the Holy Spirit is my best friend. You say, well, how do you separate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Listen, man, I walk with the Father. I walk with the Godhead. I walk with the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit, he is the one that's called to come right beside you and help you and lift you up in your times of trouble. Well, there is so much more I can teach on the gifts, so much more I can teach on what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you. But I want to just encourage you. Listen to me. I want to encourage you about what you're going to experience and in the coming days, because Jesus has a plan for you. The Father has a plan for you in these last days. He does not want you to be orphaned. He does not want you to be out in the wilderness while all the things are taking place and not have a comforter. Jesus said he would send the comforter. Who is the comforter? The Holy Spirit. Let me prove to you that principle. John said this in Matthew chapter 3, I indeed baptize you with water and unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Say that, mightier than I. Talking about Jesus, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, wait a second and think about this. Did Jesus baptize anybody with the Holy Ghost and fire? No. In his ministry, we didn't see that. He breathed upon the disciples post-resurrection, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit, but they did not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with fire. So if Jesus didn't do it on his earthly ministry, that means he was going to do it at another time. And when did he do it? Acts chapter 2. He told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know, you're going to receive power. So here's what I want you to see. One more time, look at the last part of verse 11. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Who baptizes you? Jesus. Who baptizes you in the Holy Ghost and fire? The Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, how did you get saved? How did you get born again? Well, I heard the message of the gospel. I confessed with my tongues my sins. I confessed that Jesus was Lord. I accepted him into my heart and into my life. And I was born again. And I was promised in the word that if I would confess, if I would repent, if I would believe, and if I would receive, my name would be written in the Lamb's book of life. And if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Is that right? Absolutely, that's right. That's the sinner's prayer. That is the walk of salvation. That is the walk towards grace and saying, God, forgive me. I am unclean and I need to be born again. Wasn't that simple? Wasn't that easy? Can I tell you something? It's the same with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is not difficult. This is not something scary. This is not something unusual. It is the same process of being born again. Now, can you not receive the baptism and go to heaven? Sure, you can go to heaven. You can be, you know, look at the thief on the cross. There are so many things he did not obtain and have an opportunity. You know, as far as I know, I don't think he tithed. You see that? I don't think he ever had a chance to go to church. You know, all the things we condemn everybody about and say, you know, you're a bad Christian, you're a bad person. You know, he didn't have that opportunity. Now, that doesn't mean we forsake those other things. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying to you is the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift and a promise, as we already studied and went over. So why wouldn't you want to receive the gift just like salvation? If salvation was a gift of grace and you took it in and you received new life and all that just by confessing, why can't you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the same manner? Well, you do. That's all that it is. It's that simple. He is that awesome. He loves you that much, and he wants to do that for you in your life. All you have to do, find a place, however and wherever you're listening to me right now, find a place and get alone with God. Find a place and say, Father, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I ask for you to forgive me of any sins. I ask for any roadblocks in my life to be removed. And Lord Jesus, I understand through the word of God that you are giving me a gift and that you are giving me a promise. And I want that. I want the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I want you to be my best friend. Holy Spirit, I want you to help lead me and guide me into all truth. I don't want to live this life like I'm living it now. I need you. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for you. I want you in my life, and I fully accept you and the totality of who you are. And where I don't understand, I ask for you to help me to understand. And Father, I know that you are a great, great God and a great, great Father, and you would never give me anything that was wrong in my life. Lord Jesus, I see through the word that you are the baptizer of the Holy Ghost in fire. Lord Jesus, come on, lift your hands now, wherever you are. Lord Jesus, I ask for you now to baptize me in the Holy Ghost and in fire. Just receive that now. That's the Holy Spirit. You're feeling the presence of God. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. You're hearing words in your mind doesn't understand, but open your mouth and let it flow through you. Just let the Holy Spirit flow through you. That is your prayer tongue. That is your prayer tongue. You may just get a few syllables. You don't understand it, but it's okay. Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. Look, it may not sound like I'm praying right now, but it doesn't matter. Just allow the Holy Spirit to just minister to you in power. He loves you. Right now, you feel the warmth of God. You feel the electricity, if you will. That's just the Holy Spirit coming upon you as it did in the days of Pentecost, in the days of the book of Acts. It's the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. Listen, I want to encourage you. Just continue to praise him. Continue to worship him. To continue to say, Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Spend time with him, and you're going to watch your relationship with God develop. You're going to watch the giftings come out. You're going to see your tongues, the unknown tongue, the prayer life will begin to increase. Your natural prayer will be greater in English or whatever language you pray in. You're going to see your unknown language, the tongues begin to come forth. All the giftings of God. This is your prayer language. Don't forsake it. Again, you may not understand, but the Holy Spirit will help you to do that. Let me pray with you. Let me bless you. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are making yourself real to your people today. You are making yourself real as you have throughout the generations. You have not changed. You're still the same. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just come and you would just go into their lives in a greater way. Would you manifest yourself? You only go where you're invited, and they've invited you today. And I ask, Father God, put an indelible mark upon their spirits. Put an indelible mark upon their heart and their lives, and let them know, Father, that you're real. Let them know, Lord Jesus, that you are the baptizer of the Holy Ghost in fire. Manifest yourself to them today, Holy Spirit. And I thank you that from this day forward, they will never, ever be the same in Jesus' name. Guys, I love you. Please write to me. Let me know what the Holy Spirit has done for you. I encourage you to listen to this podcast again and again. Find that place with Him and just practice your prayer language. Practice your prayer life with Him. Practice being in His presence and just let the Holy Spirit take over. Let Him begin to manifest His glory. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen, we're not looking for an emotion. What we're looking for is God to have His way in our lives. And as you do, and as you yield, you are going to see God do things He's never done before in your life because you've yielded to the Holy Spirit. I can't wait to hear of what God has done in your life. Listen, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for joining me in this podcast teaching time of life in the Spirit. We're going to see what God's going to do next in the coming days, but I leave you with this understanding that God loves you. He's got a plan for you, and He wants to fill you with the fullness of who He is. Well, I bless you. Let me give you some contact information. If you are in this area, Livonia, I had somebody contact me and say, man, they're willing to fly in and visit. And I'm like, you know, come on. If God puts that on your heart, you are not going to be disappointed. We're going to have a time in the Lord. 580 East Main Street, Livonia, Georgia. That's Ignited Church, Livonia, Georgia. 580 East Main Street. You can also write to me at P.O. Box 303, Livonia, Georgia, 30553. You can contact us at our website, ignitedchurchlife.com. We have all of our contact information there. You can hear our messages there. We got some great teaching series going up. We're working on some webcasting and man, got a lot of projects going on, but we're excited. You can get to praiser.com. There you can find all of our ministry material. And Facebook at Ignited Church Livonia. Facebook, Ignited Church Livonia. Twitter at Ignited Kingdom. And please go to z3news.com and visit the ministry there, the words that we as a ministry have given, but there's also some great words, some great watchmen that are just sharing what God is saying, and a lot of confirmation is going on in the body. Bless James Bailey. Bless Rick Wiles. Also, Pastor Stan Johnson from the Prophecy Club, prophecyclub.com. We just did a bunch of interviews together. Love that brother. Great connection. And I encourage you to go to all of these outlets and just receive ministry from us and from the Holy Spirit. Sow a seed into them, and as well, sow a seed into us if the Lord leads you to do that. And I promise you, we pray over every seed. We lay hands upon those seeds in this house, my home with my family, and with my church family at Ignited. We are believing the best for you. Listen, I love you. Thank you, guys. Everybody who contacts us and prays for us, even if you don't contact us, thank you for praying for us. We need your prayers. We can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, this is Pastor Benjamin Faircloth from Ignited Church in Livonia, Georgia, reminding you, you don't have any troubles. All you need is faith in God. I love you.